views and opinions expressed by callers, guests,
this
and
call
hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Good evening. You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines with a special broadcast of Black Talk Radio News. Normally, Tando Radio Show is on at this time in the evening. It is 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on this January 5th, 2018. Sending a shout out to Brother Dave. Have not heard from Brother Dave today, and he is usually always on point with posting his information for his upcoming program in BTRCommunity.com, which is the social media network for this radio network. So haven't heard from Dave. I tried to text him. I did text him, not try to listen to me. I texted him earlier today, and I did not hear back from him. And just listening to his voice yesterday, I could tell that he's feeling under the weather like so many people are feeling under the weather, like yours truly. But I'm recovering. I'm kind of used to this every year around this time of the year. And I think it has something to do with vitamin D deficiency, like they were talking about on Tando Radio Show yesterday, because I went to the VA hospital and I got to start going to get regular medical checkups. But hey, I'm not the person to go running to the doctor for every, you know, little thing. And fortunately, I tend to not have a lot of problems in terms of my body hurting me, other than my injury for my back that happened years ago. And, you know, I didn't got so used to that little nagging pain that it doesn't bother me. There's no reason for me to go to the doctor and ask for any opioids or anything like that. I manage it on my own. But there, you know, they said they did a full workup on me since I hadn't seen a doctor in over 10 years. But they did a full, you know, blood workup on me, ran all kind of tests and what have you. And it came back that I was vitamin D deficient. And so my VA doctor prescribed me some vitamin D supplements. And I was taking them on a regular basis like I was supposed to take. I only have to take like one pill a day. But then I start slacking off and what have you. And I bet you that's why, you know, I'm feeling a little under the weather, a little congested and what have you from this change of weather. Now, they've been saying here in North Carolina, I don't know about other states in terms of it being cold, but I know Charlotte, which is, you know, the closest, largest city to where I am. I don't live in Charlotte, but I was reading that Charlotte last week had experienced some three of its coldest days on record. So it's cold out there. It is definitely cold out there. And it just makes me appreciate even more during inclement weather that I have shelter, that I have a place, have a roof over my head, as they say, because there's millions of people, and I'm not exaggerating when I say millions of people in the United States are homeless. Yet I keep seeing these headlines, people bragging about how well the stock market is doing. I saw something on Twitter today about it going over a certain point that it had never gone over before. And so you got a whole bunch of people that's making money, but it seems to be a very small percentage of people that are making a lot of money right now with Donald Trump. Well, one of those persons, I believe, is George Zoli, the CEO of the GEO Group, and runs a private, of course, the GEO Group is a private prison enslaver, and they're not the only ones. You got Core Civic, you got MTC. And so I imagine that hey, it's been great. Donald Trump's presidency has been great for private prisons and other sectors. But that's not translating in, as Mr. Neely Fuller would say, the people who need the most help getting help. Because there's a lot of people out there that are not getting help. And then some of the people that are getting a little bit of help, they're not getting a tremendous amount of help, whether that's through food stamps, whether that's through housing vouchers, or any of these social safety net programs that many working people, I should say all working people all throughout their lives, have paid into these various funds that are supposed to help the people that need the most help. And those are being cut. But your taxes ain't being cut. Now, they're saying that middle income people, that they will get a tax cut with this latest bill that was just pushed by the Republicans, signed into law by Donald Trump. But it's not translating into a whole lot of money. A couple of hundred bucks at the most a year. And that's, I'm sure those people will appreciate that extra $100 a year. But still, I would say that's nothing. That's nothing compared to the lifetime of taxes that they put on the people of the United States. So I'm just extremely thankful that I have shelter, that I'm not exposed to the weather. And I just appreciate the efforts of everyone out there that's trying to address the situation with these homeless people. I mean, even in this little town that I live outside of called Mount Holly, it doesn't have a lot of homeless people, but it has some homeless people. And I was just reading an article the other day about a Facebook group for Mount Holly, North Carolina, and how they were coming together to kind of help the homeless, put get them some food and I guess temporary shelter and what have you. But this country should be ashamed of itself when they brag, and a lot of this is just bragging. It's a lot of words. What is the true measurement of wealth? When you say this is the wealthiest country on the face of the planet, realize that they're talking about in terms of Federal Reserve notes, which really aren't worth anything, because if all the countries decided that they were no longer going to accept monopoly money in exchange for goods, then, hey, that money wouldn't have no value. See, I shouldn't even call it money. That Federal Reserve note wouldn't have no value. But they say that this is the richest country on the face of the planet, but yet it has some of the most suffering, okay? It has some of the most suffering and just a disproportionate distribution of the country's wealth. And it just seems, reading the tea leaves, that it's only going to get worse. That's what it seems. So again, this is Scotty Reed. We're hoping that Dave is okay, but again, the way he was sounding yesterday, I would not be surprised if the brother is laid up in the bed and what have you, and trying to fight that. So I don't know. I don't want to speculate, but I know a lot of people tune in during this hour, so I decided to come on air. At 8 o'clock p.m. will be a live broadcast of Race Treaty. Brother Robin and Brother Onaje will be hosting that program. Those brothers do a lot of work in terms of human rights, especially Brother Onaje. So they'll be on tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. For the next, I would say an hour and 50 minutes, it's open lines. Anything that y'all want to talk about, anything that's on your mind, anything that's in the news. There's a couple of things that caught my eye in the news. We've been having interesting discussion in BTRcommunity.com about something that Mr. Fuller said on his radio program on whether or not black people should ask other black people for money. Maybe, you know, we can talk about that. It's very constructive conversation, even if we don't agree with that statement. But again, I just want to put out to people, you know, we should be able to discuss these things that people, other black people say, and they put out there, and not in a manner that we're trying to tear them down or anything like that, but just for the sake of discussion, just for the sake of critical thinking. It's a critical thinking exercise. And I've talked about this before, and I may or may not, I have not decided to do like a broadcast and breakdown of a biography, or I should say call it a documentary, that I saw of Marcus Garvey. And it just really opened up my eyes and filled in some blanks to some of the stuff that I did not know. And again, I do agree with Mr. Fuller saying that we should study history to find out where we messed up at, where were the mistakes made that led us not to being able to accomplish the thing that we set out to accomplish, you know, and just weighing everything, whether it was external forces that played a role in it, and certainly external forces played a role in the downfall of Marcus Garvey. I mean, the very first FBI, black FBI agent that was ever hired by the FBI was a black person who infiltrated the UNIA to get next to Garvey and what have you. But they still could not bring him down. It was some mistakes that he made that kind of led to his downfall. So I just think that idolatry, and when I say idolatry, that's something I learned through Christianity about worshiping false idols and things of that nature. But you can apply that to anything. You can apply that to the celebrity culture that the American media, and I would say global media, pushes these celebrities. You got like Keeping Up with the Kardashians. You got people keeping up with Basketball Wives. You got people keeping, that's idolatry. That's where you're idolizing a person and you're putting them up on a pedestal, and it's not constructive. It's just simply not constructive. So I have in the past month or so been talking a lot about idolatry prohibiting critical thinking, because, you know, we, especially as black people, are so starved for positive images that any image that comes along like a Barack Obama, we want to buy into that. We want to see that person succeed, and we will overlook the things that they may be doing that is harming people. And, you know, and then if somebody points it out, like for example, you had Tavis Smiley and Cornel West say, hey, look, Barack Obama isn't addressing the issue of all this poverty, especially among black people. And you have people go off on Tavis Smiley and go off on Cornel. Oh, they're just haters and they hating and all that. But I'm telling you, man, if you don't advocate for yourself and you don't advocate for your people, regardless of who is in these positions of power within the United States, then guess what? Your issues are not going to get addressed. And I believe that the system knew or knows that black people sometimes, though, we'll just, hey, all we want is to see somebody occupying a position, and whether or not they do anything productive for us as a people, you know, that's, we don't even consider that, hey, we're just happy to see a black person, a black family in these highest positions. I mean, take a look at what's going on with this, what's her name? Meghan Markle, marrying into, and I refuse to call them the royal family. So let's call them royal criminals or what have you, because to me, that's why, that's like feeding into white supremacy. It's also feeding into Nazism and classism. What makes these people royal? What makes them royal other than self appointed titles and whatnot. These are criminals. This is a crime syndicate. This is a crime family that has for centuries exploited poor white people in Europe, went into countries like Africa and everywhere else in the world where non-white people are, and exploited those people, murdered those people, enslaved those people, stole their resources. And so now that we got a black woman, and you know, I don't care to debate this stuff, but, oh, she got a white pen, I don't care, she black, she black, okay? So anyway, now we got a lot of black women, particularly, men aren't really into this princess and prince and kings and queens and all of that kind of type stuff. But a lot of black women were celebrating it. Oh, we about to have a black person part of the royal Nazis. And I'm like, really? See, that's idolatry. And a lot of the times, you know, again, we have to realize that these people have been suffering under oppression for a very, very long time. And they have self-esteem issues. I mean, I shouldn't have to tell anyone listening to the sound of my voice right now all of the anti-blackness that's in media. And so that has an impact on people. And so when a Meghan Markle, whatever her name is, comes along and is going to join this, what the world has told you is this royal, prestigious family and all, we'll celebrate something like that. And that's not anything worth celebrating. And for the life of me, I don't even see why poor peasant white people even celebrate or are buying into that whole queen or British royal family. You a bunch of, look, those are the biggest welfare recipients on the face of the planet. They ain't got no jobs. Where do their money come from? Okay? Besides the wealth that they've been living off of that has been, you know, for centuries that's been stolen. But the tax people of that nation, some of their taxes goes towards upkeeping these welfare recipients. So that's idolatry. Idolatry is not good because all human beings are fallible. All human beings are prone to make mistakes. And when we put them up on such a high pedestal to that we're looking at them like they're godlike, like they're deities, then when some of their human characteristics or human flaws come along, then, you know, it's a hard fall. It's a hard fall. And then we become depressed. And I'm like, man, you know, you should have never put that much faith in a person like that. And until you think that they're some kind of superman or superwoman, we are all just flesh and blood human beings who are prone to all the evils of the world. We all get tempted and we all go through things. And you know, it's just likely that some people will give in to that temptation. So anyway, as I stated, man, I'm starting to get real hoarse, but we also going to kick some music for you, be playing three tracks in a row. If you got any music requests, go ahead and post those in our chat room, which is located at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. Again, we will have open lines. Anything that's on your mind that you want to bring to our attention. I heard that Hillary Clinton's Clinton Foundation, where that whole criminal crime family, the Clintons, that Clinton Foundation has been under investigations for months. And this is serious. But I seriously doubt that those people will do any time for their crimes, for the crimes of robbing the people of Haiti, of those relief funds, just any of the crimes that they are accused of. I don't see them doing any time. But I think there's a slim possibility for the simple fact that there is a civil war among white people in this country in the area of politics. And they're going so hard at Donald Trump that some of these Republicans is like, look, you know, y'all going after him on some nonsense and all of this and that. And then y'all just want to ignore what the Clintons did. So, hey, I love it. I love it when powerful white people who do not practice justice go to war with one another, because, you know, that benefits us when they harm each other, because right now they may not be focused on us so much. There are some other things that caught my eye in the news. There was a white terrorist who was arrested for terrorizing the railroad industry, Amtrak, which is a company that operates railroad cars and what have you. And I saw a white male was arrested today. Now, why, you know, I mean, that's newsworthy in itself, but he was only under $100,000 bond. I'm like, man, they caught this dude with all kind of weapons. He had like an arsenal. But yet, in my county here in North Carolina, a 17-year-old boy was upset that he had been suspended from school. I don't know the details surrounding his suspension, but we know about that school-to-prison pipeline. And he goes to a school called Hunter Huss, which is in Gastonia, and it's predominantly black. And he got suspended, and he also plays football, and he was upset about being suspended. Again, I don't have the details, but he's upset about that. So he creates a fake account on Facebook on Mark Zuckerberg's platform, and he does something stupid. It was stupid for him to do this. Again, we can't give these slave catchers any ammunition to use against us. Again, we talking about a 17-year-old, though. His brain still hasn't fully developed. So he makes this fake profile on Facebook and says that he's going to shoot up the school and put Hunter Huss on the map. So Facebook works with the local police here, and they track this to his cell phone, and he got arrested. And he's sitting under a $250,000 bond. And I said to myself, I was like, how, I've seen people in Gaston County get charged with murder and were not under $100,000 bond. And I'll play that video clip on that, but that just illustrates the racism. Now, I know it's in two different locations, but still, though, it's still an example of the injustice, the racism that exists in this country. Here you got a terrorist that you caught with an arsenal of weapons, and when he was arrested, he was armed, and he was trying to shoot people while they was trying to arrest him. Well, actually, it was the Amtrak employees who caught him on one of the engineer, I don't know the terminology related to trains, but the engine car, the car that, you know, that has the power that pulls the other cars. They caught him up in there messing around with the controls. And so so he got belligerent and violent. So a bunch of the employees piled on this guy because they say he kept trying to go to his waistband. He was armed with a .38 caliber handgun. He still only got a $100,000 bond. While this kid, in terms of the news report, they did not report that he had a house full of guns or they pulled him over like he was on his way to the school. No, nothing like that. So I'm like, how do you justify? Again, this is very serious. I'm not making excuses for his apparently stupid act out of frustration, but we're talking about a child still, a child whose brain has not fully developed, who needs counseling more than he needs to be sitting up in that jail under a quarter of a million dollar bond. And I doubt very seriously if his parents can come up with $25,000 to get him out of jail while he awaits trial for whatever they're going to charge him with, because they didn't mention what he was being charged with. So those are just some of the news stories that caught my eye today.
It's fun.
Yes, let me go to area code 347. I was just about to go to a music break, but go ahead, sorry, jump right in.
Happy on Friday to you. We had a case in New York City where it was a kid went into school with a knife. Two black kids, this was a Latino or Spanish looking youth, and he was 19. two black kids who were in the class with him who happened to be 16. He claimed that they were bullying him. He stabbed both of them in the chest, killed one, and he was able to go home for Christmas and everything because of the bullying aspect. So I see a double standard here too with the treatment. This kid is home. He kills a boy. He severely injures another one in school. He was a year older than the age that you should be in school. Yeah, he gets to go home, and it looks like he's going to get away with this crime.
I remember that story. But he was criminally charged, though, was he not?
He was, but they went and got him on Christmas Eve, let him out to jail. He's been giving interviews from his house. He's free as a bird.
Understood. Yeah, so this kid here, man, 17 years old, his mind ain't fully developed. I understand, you know, he frustrated. Nobody's saying or making excuses for him posting that threat, terrorizing other black people because this is a predominantly black school. Nobody's making that excuse, but again, we're still talking about a child who made a very bad decision. And I don't think that the jail is where he should be. I think that this boy should be receiving mental health counseling. And it would be different if they found him with the means to actually carry out the attack, but I'm not seeing that he did. I'm not seeing again that he had a house full of weapons or his parents had a house full of weapons that he had access to, that he had thousands of rounds of ammunition, and that they found any kind of plans like a layout of the school and you know, some detailed plan. It sounds like a frustrated kid who got suspended, probably angry because he's no longer be able to participate in sports, and he made a stupid mistake. And nobody was hurt. Nobody was killed. I'm pretty sure, though, some people were stressed out about it, but I just cannot find justification for $250,000 bond when I guarantee you I can pull up Gaston County lockup and there'll be some people in there who have done something far more serious than put some words on Facebook, and their bonds are not that high. So, yes, it is. Again, this is a part, again, like Max has pointed out on New Abolitionist Radio, the United States is only one of two countries that actually even have a bail system. Other countries have said that, you know, that's an archaic system, and it needs to be eliminated. But then, you know, as Max just said, Wednesday night, that's why the United States has so many people in jail more than any other country on the face of the earth, is because of this bond system that disproportionately targets poor people. As a matter of fact, Thomas, I just read that this woman named, I can't remember her first name, her last name is Cook or Kennedy or Kennedy Cook or something like that, but her father, I think, owned the NFL team at one time or something. She's known as a New York socialite. She was at a restaurant where you had this party of white people. Apparently, a couple of them practiced the religion of Judaism and classified themselves as Jews. And she said to them, and she was reported to be very drunk, inebriated, and she told them, "Hurry up, Jew. I got somewhere to be." And they said, "What you say?" But you know what you say? And the guy got upset and confronted her. And he didn't put his hands on her. He just used his words to confront her. And she bust him upside the head with a glass purse. And it caused lacerations to his skull. And the blood, you know, you can see in the photos, the blood running down his face and whatnot. The article didn't even mention a bond. No, she signed out on her own recognizance. Now, the people that's most able to afford a bond, not even getting a bond for a violent attack on a person that some people are calling a hate crime because, you know, Jews are classified as a protected group and what have you, even though many of them practice white supremacy, especially, you know, you look at Israel, but people are saying that's a hate crime, and it's definitely a crime. But I'm like, this woman getting out on her own recognizance. She got money. That's the game, people. That's the game that they playing with us. This is slavery and human trafficking, and that bail system has kept a whole lot of people in jail who have not been convicted of crime, so technically they are innocent. But even more than that, it has extrapolated a tremendous amount of wealth from the people who need it the most. Now, what do you think? If his family does come up with $25,000 to get him out on bond, then where are they going to get the money from to hire an attorney? Or they going to be forced to go with a indigent, you know, attorney, what they call the public defender? Well, in Gaston County, they make you pay for public defenders now. And so it's based off of your income. You got to fill out a form and all of that. So, I mean, there is just that story is so troubling. I reached out to the Gaston County NAACP to pick up his case because I cannot. Again, this is about knowing your role. I am one person in this county. My expertise is in media and informing people and facilitating other voices to talk about these sort of issues. I don't run a civil rights organization. I don't have the resources. Hell, if I was to get arrested, I'd be challenged to get out on bond. So, I mean, only thing I can do is bring it to people's attention. So I brought it to the attention of the NAACP. And I'm connected to the guy on Facebook, and I'm going to see what they're going to do about it. And I'll lend my support where I can lend my support. But again, I don't run an organization that focuses on these issues, but I try to support those that do. So my main job is journalism and being a media provider, so that we can facilitate, you know, these conversations. All right, so I'm going to take a 3-in-a-row music break. Again, if you have any music you would like to hear, we're keeping it loose here. Again, Tando Radio Show got canceled. Keep Dave in your prayers because I have not heard from him. I tried texting him. I tried calling him. He could be out there on the road. I just simply don't know. Oh, but by the way, in case y'all did not see my post in BTR community or on Facebook, I was able to hear from Gus of the Context of White Supremacy. That's an independent station on the Black Talk Radio Network. He's still trying to recover from his house flooding. They had a water main break up the street from his house, I guess. It sounds like he has roommates, but he's not living alone because he was talking in terms of we. He was using those types of words. But a water main burst, and it flooded their house. He said it wasn't like Katrina flooding or Hurricane Harvey flooding, but it caused tremendous damage to the house that the city ended up condemning the house. He said that they were scrambling trying to find sufficient lodging, said that the Red Cross wasn't being any help. You know, so, I mean, hell, that's not surprising. They wasn't, when do they ever help people of color or black people? So he's dealing with that. He is in a place right now, but he's getting all his stuff together. He said none of his equipment was damaged for, you know, broadcasting and what have you. His Mac computer and all of that didn't suffer any damage. But he said that he should be back on air in a couple of days. So, you know, he had texted me, but I didn't accept that as proof of life. I want to hear your voice, man. So, you know, he left me a voicemail message, and it was Gus. So he's okay. He's alive as well. But Dave, I don't know where Dave at. So, you know, hopefully I'll hear from Dave a little bit later. So possibly he's incapacitated or in a situation where he just can't communicate. All right. You're listening to a special broadcast of Black Talk Radio News on the Black Talk Radio Network. Remember, the Black Talk Radio Network is supported by the U.S.-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. We are people-powered radio, a people-powered platform. We do not get money from corporations who might want to try to control our voices or promote products that are harmful to people. So it is on each and every one listening to the sound of my voice to support that if they want to see it continue. And I just want to thank all of those who have done so and have made it possible for the Black Talk Media Project to do its work that it has been doing for the past 9 years. As 2018, we're entering into our 10th year. All right, stay tuned. We'll be back after 3 in a row. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News, Scotty Reed. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News on this Friday evening. It is January the 5th. Just listening to some Soul to Soul, Back to Life. You know, I was on a thread the other day. Well, I actually started a thread. And I was asking people, are you Atlantic Star or SOS Band? And somebody made the comment that they just don't make, you know, R&B music like they used to. And I'm a little bit biased, being that I guess you could say I'm a child of the 80s, but I definitely remember the music of the 70s because my stepfather at the time, that's my younger brother and sister's father, was a DJ. You know, go to clubs and bars and play and stuff like that. And when I was about 11, 12 years old, I would help him with the equipment and all that. So I was always exposed to music, not to mention my mother was in a band. Then my uncles and aunts had a band down here in North Carolina. So music always been part of my life. I believe it or not, I used to could, you know, spit a little tune back in the day, but all the music ability, it kind of skipped me because I don't play any instruments or anything like that. But call me biased, but I just don't think that R&B music is what it used to be, man. I miss that sound of the 80s and what have you. So that was Soul to Soul. And, of course, before that, we heard from Run DMC, Want to Be Down with the King. And we also heard from Eric B. and Rakim, I Ain't No Joke. The telephone number is 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. 9025, pretty much open lines for about the next, hour and a half. We'll have open lines. Anything that you want to talk about, any news you want to bring to our attention, is always something for us to discuss and critically analyze. So I was talking about this team here in Gaston County. And see, this is why I went to the GastonGazette.com. And newspapers are dying. Newspapers really are dying, you know, because of the internet. But their internet website, this is the only source of, well, it's not the only source. There's another one called Banner News that covers Gaston County, the little small towns and whatnot. But you gotta pay. You gotta pay just to read some freaking news, man. So that's why me and my daughter is going to launch a news media platform for Gaston County. It's going to be for profit. It's not going to have anything to do with my work with the Black Talk Media Project. This is strictly going to be a for profit business. And I see this as a business opportunity all throughout the United States in little rural counties and small towns where you only have one paper. And the only thing you're going to get is the white supremacist perspective on the news. Okay, now I'm not saying we're going to be codified with our publication. And, you know, like I heard Mr. Fuller say, you can talk about racism without actually using the R word and asking questions and get racists to tell on themselves or whatnot. But there needs to be an alternative to the Gaston Gazette. So I'm going to have to go to Charlotte to bring you that story. And it says from WSOC, Charlotte, that is the television outlet that is based in Charlotte, North Carolina, but they cover Gaston County as well. Says former student threatened to shoot up Gaston County High School's police say. Now, this was posted yesterday. That's when I saw it on television, and I recorded it on my phone, and then I posted it to social media asking people their thoughts on this. So this is what I wrote about it. I said, why is this child's bond $250,000 for a threat posted on Facebook out of frustration for being suspended, which the details are not known? Did they find him in possession of an arsenal of firearms and ammunition to carry out the threat? There are people charged with murder who don't have $250,000 bonds. If he is guilty of being stupid, he should face consequences. But this is a child who needs counseling, not set up for prison slavery. And I tagged the NAACP Gaston County. Matter of fact, let me go to their Facebook page and see if they said anything about it. Because I'm telling you, I've had issues with this guy before. When they asked him, when that flag was coming down in South Carolina, that terrorist flag for white supremacists, they asked this dude, well, what do you think about that Confederate monument that's sitting on the courthouse grounds that all taxpayers are maintaining, including black people? And he was like, well, you know, I don't think that that's really that important, and we have more important things to focus on. But I've been following their Facebook page for a while, and this guy talks about nothing concerning Gaston County or the issues of black people and people of color in Gaston County. We don't have a high population of Hispanics here. There are some here, but their population percentage is insignificant. But the biggest so-called minority group in this county is black folks. And I don't think he consulted black folks on that. He certainly didn't consult me on that, because I'd have told him, I think that it is terroristic for white people to put up a monument to Confederate terrorists, so-called soldiers, all right, right there at the courthouse freaking doors. And then not only that, this is a new courthouse, and you moved that statue from the old courthouse. Why didn't you just leave it over there? Why are you going to bring it over here? Because you're sending a message. This sends a message to people. Now, to be honest, because I'm always about honesty, may Judge Jingles rest in peace, who was a black civil rights warrior, had actually litigated some landmark cases in Gaston County concerning racism. Not Gaston County, but North Carolina. He passed away, I think it was in 2016 when Judge Jingles passed away. And he was the chief district judge over that courthouse. And he laid down a rule in that courthouse that we're not just going to be sending people to jail for no reason, or sentencing people to prison. And their record doesn't warrant that. He, as much as he could, in a white supremacist system practicing slavery, tried his best to practice justice from that bench. And actually, personally, I was a personal benefit from him being on the bench, as this person got me so angry one time from trying to interfere with the custody of my children. I threatened to kill him. I really did. I said it out of anger. I had no intention of actually killing this person. But we say things out of anger sometimes, just like this young man said what he said out of anger. And so this person, being a petty person that they were, they're passed away now too, but being a petty busybody person, that they took out criminal charges against me. I'm not gonna lie, because I'm not a liar. And when I got on the stand, I told the truth. And Judge Jingles found me guilty. It was a bench trial. It wasn't no jury trial. It was just a misdemeanor charge. And he found me guilty. But then he saw the so-called victim and the victim's party of people that came up there to support them get all up in my face, antagonizing me right there in the courtroom, right there in front of his face. Judge Jingles yelled out to the prosecutor that, you know what, your people wasn't right in this. And unbeknownst to me, and I found out later when I was applying for a job, because I had to have a records check, Judge Jingles expunged that conviction from my record. So black voting does matter. It certainly mattered that I voted for Judge Jingles and everybody else that voted for Judge Jingles. But I'm just trying to give you some background in the county that we live in. All right. So, I mean, we got issues with racism, most certainly. We got a bunch of terrorists, you know, but they kind of know their place. But in terms of the people that's in power, they find ways to practice racism. And practicing racist terrorism, I would say, is what you're doing when you put monuments to a racist terrorist or racist terrorists right there at the courthouse door. Courthouse supposed to stand for justice, not white supremacy. So that's just to give you a little background on the county that I live in. And this dude at the NAACP kind of got under my skin with that. If you go to his page, he doesn't really talk about anything that's going on in Gaston County. And I kind of suspect that he might be afraid of these white people. Okay, so most of the stuff he shares is from Dr. Barber. Y'all might know Dr. Barber. He's the one that was behind, what did they call that, Moral Mondays, where this black man was able to get thousands of white people to protest in the streets of the Capitol and what have you. Now, he kind of damaged his standing in my eyes, you know, not that, you know, he has to prove himself to me or anything, but I do look at him as a person trying to practice justice for everyone, okay? But when he endorsed that racist criminal, Hillary Clinton, and gave that speech at the DNC convention, I was like, man, why'd you have to endorse that racist terrorist Hillary Clinton? Why, man? You know, because I really respect Dr. Barber for what he tries to accomplish, all right? And so this is what we see on NAACP Gaston County page all the time. He's promoting the work of Dr. Barber. Well, what about your own work in your own county is what I say to this Mr. Thomason, okay? And he's about 2 years younger than me. All right, so I don't see anything about this young man. This happened yesterday, so first, let me go through all his posts from yesterday and see if he's saying anything about this $250,000 bond they got this black child under on misdemeanor charges, okay? That tells me he didn't have no weapon. So that's kind of what we're dealing with here in Gaston County. So let me go back to WSOC Channel 9's website and give me just a moment. Let me close out some of these windows for my browser locks up and we start having all kind of problems. Again, race treaty will be coming up at 8 o'clock p.m. Brother Robin and Brother Onaje will be talking about human rights tonight, so keep it locked right here on your station, Black Talk Radio, for more live programming tonight. So let me pull this up. This is what WSOC, and I'll let y'all listen to it as well. But first, let me just go ahead and let y'all listen to the report. Hopefully this will come through loud enough because I recorded it on my phone, and I probably should have had the television up a little louder.
Faces exploitation of a minor and voyeurism charges. A 17-year-old is now charged with making a threat against a Gaston County school. Police had extra security at Hunter Huss High School this morning, and now Eyewitness News reporter Ken Lennon found out the threat was so serious, a former student is now in jail under a $250,000 bond.
That extra security briefing is gone now, but police say after the threat, they wanted to assure parents dropping off children today that students were going to be safe at school. They had metal detectors here, but by the time school started, police had already arrested their suspect. Shaquan Rashford is in jail under that hefty $250,000 bond you mentioned for posting the threat on Facebook. I talked to police minutes ago. They say Rashford admitted to creating a fake account, then posting that he was going to shoot up Hunter Huss High School and put it on the map. Investigators say, ironically, he made the threats because he wanted to go back to school. He was a football player here. He was upset, they say, because he was expelled. They told me they got warrant and help from Facebook and Sprint to track the threat to Ratchet's phone.
With the instances of school shootings in the United States in general, we have to take all these threats serious.
We're working looking to learn more about his expulsion, he'll face a judge this afternoon, tonight, beginning at 5 o'clock.
Okay, for whatever reason, the video stopped on me there. Let me just make some adjustments to my audio because it looks like I'm coming in a little low because I had to boost the volume of that video and it kind of messed with my controls. All right, so first of all, you heard a police captain there say we had to take these threats serious because of, you know, the other shootings across the country that have happened in the past. And yes, you do take those sort of threats serious. There's no argument from me on that. But she isn't the one who determines the bond. Who, that would be the magistrate, all right, that determines what this young man's bond would be. $250,000, okay? $250,000, keep that in mind. $250,000. Now, as you heard, this young man had been expelled from school. I don't know why. I don't know the details of that. He wanted to go back to school, and he was frustrated. He was very frustrated. Again, the school-to-prison pipeline is real, and it's being demonstrated in this case. Because instead of looking at this as a troubled youth in our community, the magistrate and the authorities seem to be wanting to just criminalize. Again, this was a criminal act. Okay, this was a criminal act. But like Judge Jingle says, a person's record matters. Had they ever committed violent acts before in the past? She, according to this police captain, that bond, again, maybe she talked to the magistrate, I don't know. But that bond should not be based on any crimes that occurred committed by anyone else. That's not how a system of justice works. You don't punish him and his family with a high bond because of what somebody else did, okay? Because of Adam Lanza or whatever that boy was that is reportedly shot up Sandy Hook. You don't hold him responsible for what the Columbine killers did. Again, I'm not saying we don't take these things serious, but obviously this is a troubled 17-year-old who wanted to be in school for whatever reason, didn't agree with his suspension, and out of frustration, posted a threat on Facebook. Now, let me read the details because we got a little bit more details from the article published on WSOCTV.com. Says Gaston County police have arrested and charged a teenager with making threats against Hunter Huss High School in Gastonia. Again, this is a predominantly black school. I know that the majority of those students are getting free lunch and getting assistance. So this is a poor school. Gaston County is poor, by the way, regardless of skin color. Gaston County is poor. The average income of a family of four in Gaston County is only $30,000 a year. That's poor folk money. That's poor. You poor, okay? You qualify for food stamps. So that's the school we're talking about. It goes on to say Shaquan Ratchford, 17, has been charged with two misdemeanor counts of disorderly conduct by disrupting students, one count of misdemeanor cyberstalking, and one felony count of making a false report concerning mass violence on educational property. Okay? So, I'm not seeing any charges that he committed an act of violence. Okay? Again, I am not trying to minimize the seriousness of this, but they are blowing it up and making it more serious than it is. I would understand $250,000 bond if they went to this child's home and they found a diagram of the school, a map of the school, written down how he's going to carry out the attack, and not only that, but the means to do so. Meaning he had the weapons. to carry out his threat. Otherwise, we're looking at nonviolent charges here. I don't think it in one felony count of making a false report. Hell, I seen a white female lie to the police. I saw a story, I should say, of a white female. I think this was in Georgia. But it's not an isolated case of white female claiming she was raped when she was not raped, but was cheating on her boyfriend and couldn't account for her time. So she made up this story about these three black men in a black SUV kidnapping her and raping her in this building and torturing her. She even went as far as to burn herself with some freaking cigarettes. She was not facing $250,000 bond. So we're looking at three misdemeanors here and one felony count of making a false report. That does not warrant $250,000 bond in my mind. If y'all think I'm wrong, again, agreement is never necessary. Maybe I'm not seeing something. Maybe I'm not taking something into account. But I'm telling you, this is too high of a bond for what he's charged with. And we're going to compare and contrast in just a moment here. So, oh, also, tell your children to stop talking to police. Now, you might look at it as being a good thing that he fessed up to what he did. And you know, he's sorry because he's saying, I'm sorry, I'm really sorry. He said Ratchford apologized in court Thursday afternoon. I'm sorry. I really am sorry. And it says he is currently in the Gaston County Jail under a $250,000 secure bail. He is a former student at Hunter Huss High School. So when they say former student, it isn't like he graduated or he dropped out. He was expelled. This is what he's accused of saying. He was talking about going in and shooting school up and putting Hunter Huss on the map. Gaston Police Captain Susan Money said that's who we heard in that video. They're saying Ratcher also threatened to do the same at Stuart W. Kramer High in Belmont. All right, so those two threats equal up to three misdemeanors and one nonviolent felony. I can't justify $250,000 bond for this child. But we have to tell our children, stop talking to these slave catchers, even when if they do something wrong. If you do something wrong, request an attorney. If you're a minor, request to speak to your appearance. But exercise the Fifth Amendment in that you don't have to talk. Because then when we admit to doing these things, even if we did them, we take away any leverage a defense attorney might have. I hope I'm making sense to people. Okay? Again, I'm not justifying this stupidity, but we're talking about a child, a very frustrated child, a poor child who wanted to be in school. And I just got a feeling that since Judge Jingles is dead now, and I haven't been to the court in a while, so I don't know what judges. I knew a lot of judges because I handled my own custody case when I was going through, you know, custody for my two daughters that I ended up raising, not because the court gave them to me, because their mother came to her senses and said, you know what, you're more stable than I am, and you should raise these children. And we made that agreement outside of the court. But I knew a lot of judges because of that experience. All right. So I don't know what kind of judge he's going to get. I doubt if he gets a Judge Jingles type judge that's going to use common sense and see that this is a very frustrated immature child and not try to, quote unquote, throw the book at him. In fact, I'm wondering if this child has an attorney, because an attorney should be filing. If I was this child's attorney, and I'm not licensed to practice law, but I understand the law, I would be applying for immediate reduction in bail. This child family can't afford that. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. If this was anywhere else in the country, I would be concerned for his safety. Now, I spent a few hours in that jail. I got a relative that's in that jail right now. And all throughout my life, again, you know, I've done stupid stuff, driving without license and not showing up to court, and I end up in jail overnight. We don't hear about people getting abused in Gaston County Jail. That's why I keep voting for Sheriff Pendergraft, I believe his name is. It's been a while I think it was the last election. But that's why I keep voting for him, is because we don't hear about prisoners being abused in that jail. So that's the only silver lining I see in that. This boy probably will not be raped, will not be beaten. He will not suffer what the young brother Khalif Browder suffered up there in Rikers. That kind of stuff ain't going on in Gaston County Jail. But still, though, he don't need to be in that jail. He need to be seeing a counselor. Okay? And that's just too high of a bail when I'm looking at this other case that I'm about to pull up for you now, of a terrorist caught with an arsenal of weapons, and he's only facing $100,000 bond, and he's out. He's out of prison. I mean, excuse me, he's out of jail. This comes to you from FremontTribune.com, FremontTribune.com. Think this happened in Nebraska. It was published yesterday. Happened the same day that this story came out about the young man here in my county. It says FBI. See, FBI ain't involved in this young man's case. FBI accuses white supremacists of terror attack on Amtrak train in rural Nebraska. The FBI says an armed, shout out to Ed Poindexter, political prisoner who was in a formation aligned with the Black Panther Party. They are known as the Omaha 2, but Mondo Wilanga, a government named David Rice, passed away while in prison, and they were set up by COINTELPRO, set up by the FBI, and Ed Poindexter is still in prison. It has been in there going on 30 years, if not over 30 years. So I just want, since they talking about Nebraska, I had to bring them up. The FBI says an armed 26-year-old Missouri man who breached a secure area to stop an Amtrak train in southwest Nebraska in October has links to a white supremacist group and expressed an interest in killing black people, according to court documents unsealed Wednesday. Again, this was just this past Wednesday. Taylor Michael Wilson of St. Charles, Missouri, is charged in U.S. District Court in Lincoln with terrorism attacks and other violence against railroad carriers and mass transportation systems. In an affidavit attached to the criminal complaint, FBI Special Agent Monty Kaplowski said there was probable cause to believe that electronic devices possessed by Wilson and firearms owned by him have been used for or obtained in anticipation of engaging in or planning to engage in criminal offenses against the United States. Just before 2 a.m. on October the 22nd, an assistant conductor felt the train braking, searched for what was causing it, and found Wilson in the engineer's seat of the follow engine playing with the controls, Kaplinski wrote. The conductors and others subdued Wilson, then held him and waited for deputies from Furness and Harlan counties to arrive in Oxford, 23 miles south of Holeridge, where the eastbound California Zephyr with about 175 people aboard stopped. No injuries were reported. Kaplinsky said Wilson, who has a permit in Missouri to carry a concealed handgun, had a loaded 38 caliber handgun in his waistband, a speed loader in his pocket, and a National Socialist Movement business card on him when he was arrested. He also had a backpack with three more speed loaders, a box of ammunition, a knife, 10 snips, they're talking about, you know, a metal cutting tool, scissors, and a ventilation mask inside. Wilson, who was traveling from Sacramento, California to St. Louis, later was charged in Furness County with felony criminal mischief and use of a deadly weapon during the commission of a felony. A judge ordered Wilson to undergo a competency evaluation at his attorney's request in late October. What did I just say about this young 17-year-old? He needs an evaluation. I, again, don't know if he has an attorney. He just got arrested. So 48 hours hasn't even passed. But I just hope that he gets a competent attorney. But look at there, the judge looking out for this dude. Hey, this ain't normal. You know what? This dude might have a mental illness besides being a white supremacist. All right. So the judge ordered Wilson to undergo a competency evaluation at his attorney's request in late October. The judge could have denied it, but he granted it. He later was found competent to proceed, according to court records. His $100,000 bond was posted on December the 11th, and he was released. 2 days later, according to the federal case, FBI agents searched his home in Missouri and found a hidden compartment with a handmade shield, as well as a tactical vest, 11 AR-15 rifle, AR-15s, ammunition magazines with approximately 190 rounds of .223 ammunition, one drum-style ammunition magazine for a rifle, firearm tactical accessories, 100 rounds of 9mm ammunition, approximately 840 rounds of 5.45x39 rifle ammunition, white supremacy documents and paperwork, several additional handgun and rifle magazines, gunpowder ammunition, ammunition reloading supplies, and a pressure plate. Kaplinsky said they also found 15 firearms, including a fully automatic rifle. Wow. Fully automatic, not a bump stock accessory to a rifle to make it simulate automatic gunfire. He had an automatic rifle. Ammunition and firearms magazines, and a tactical body armor carrier with ceramic ballistic plates. Wow. In the newly unsealed federal case, Kaplinsky wrote that investigators had found videos and PDF files on Wilson's phone of a white supremacist banner over a highway, other alt-right postings, and documents related to how to kill people. He said an acquaintance contacted by the FBI said that Wilson had been acting strange since June and had joined an alt-right neo-Nazi group that he found while researching white supremacy forums online. So again, the United States allows these terrorists, man, to operate in such a manner. Bring back the Klan Act of 1871 and round them up. But again, I can't allow my motions to make me push things that's not practicing justice. But that's a law that's on the book. As far as I know, it's still on the books. I don't think it was repealed. An informant told the FBI that Wilson has expressed an interest in, quote, killing black people, and others besides whites, and they suspect Wilson was responsible for a road rage incident in April 2016 in St. Charles, where a man pointed a gun at a black woman for no apparent reason while driving on Interstate 70, Kaplinski said. Wilson is now in federal custody. He was arrested December 23rd, a day after the complaint was filed under seal in federal courts in Nebraska. So we're looking at two separate court actions. Now, they let this dude out after he committed a violent act on a $100,000 bond. And who knows what he was planning to carry out before they came several months later and made an arrest. So I imagine his bond is denied. But they let him out on a $100,000 bond. And he committed a violent act. I would even say they undercharged him. If you are in the engineer car playing with the control, here come some employees, and you reaching for your waistband, and you are armed, that's attempted murder. You could easily say that he was going to kill them if they had not subdued him. And he had all of these weapons and what have you and other paraphernalia on his person. $100,000 bond? For real? But then you have a 17-year-old teenager here in Gaston County who does something stupid out of frustration that he was suspended from school and he wanted to go to school. See, that's the thing that gets me. He wanted to be in school. And you put him under $250,000 bond, that just does not sound like justice to me. Just doesn't. Again, I'm not saying not to take this serious. They should take it serious. Anytime anybody threatens the life of other people, there's consequences to that. There's victims involved. But once you get the details and you see this boy had no means to carry out such an attack and it went no further than an online threat to do something, I don't see how that warrants a $250,000 bond. I do see where that warrants psychiatric evaluation. Those are my thoughts on the matter. About to go to another music break. That's how I'm trying to save my voice, y'all. But you can give us a call at 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Hit ** on your telephone keypad. That will unmute you. Please watch your background noise so that we don't get any of that background noise. Let's see. We got a caller. We got Mr. Tillman from North Carolina, fellow North Carolinian. How are you tonight, sir? Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, yeah, man. I'm familiar with all you were talking about with the story with the young man who got himself caught up in a situation. You know what I mean? I just want to know, you know what I'm saying? How do we supposed to get our mind?
Uh-oh, we lost Mr. Tillman. Mr. Tillman, if you want to give us a call back, we certainly are interested in hearing what you have to say, especially since you're in this county along with us. So definitely give us a call back, Mr. Tillman, and we'll come to you. So, again, this speaks to me about the school-to-prison pipeline. To me, this is a young man that needs to be helped. Well, I'm not going to call him a young man because he's not a man. He's a child. 17 is not an adult. And I wouldn't care if he was 18. He's still not an adult. The brain, according to scientists, according to those who study these sort of things, say that the brain doesn't even completely physically develop until a person turns 26 years old. That's just the physical portion of the brain. That don't got nothing to do with the emotions, the maturity level. This young man needs help. He needs to be in a diversion program. And I hope he ends up in one. But off the bat, putting him under a $250,000 bond for nonviolent acts, that don't speak to me as they about to practice some justice. That speaks to me they about to practice some slavery on this young man. Excuse me, on this young boy, because that's what he is. He's a boy. He's not a man. He's a boy. But then you got this dude, this white terrorist, 26 years old, so his brain has fully developed, who carried out a violent act and was let out on a $100,000 bond, giving him opportunity to carry out other violent acts, given the arsenal and the paraphernalia and the literature that he had. All right. So we'll get Mr. Tillman if he calls back in, but we're going to take a music break. We got about, 30 more? Well, I would say about 25 more minutes left in this broadcast. Race Treaty is coming up, hosted by Brother Robin and Brother Anaje, two human rights defenders. So they definitely know the law, and they study international law. They approach racism and white supremacy from an international law perspective. So make sure you check out Race Treaty tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. Let's go ahead and let me see if Mr. Tillman's back. Mr. Tillman, we had lost you. Please go ahead and finish your thought.
Yes, I apologize about that. Scotty, the phone must have dropped. They unplugged my earbuds or whatever, and they hung it up. But what I wanted to say about that story, man, was, you know, Gaston County has a history of uneven justice. You know what I mean? And you said a little bit from your experience of dealing with the court system here. I've had my own experiences of dealing with the court system, to where they all know each other. You know how small this town is.
Yes, sir.
And this is all over America. Where,
yes,
the lawyers know the judges, and the judges eat with the prosecutors, and the prosecutors are friends with the probation officer. And it's just a big old system of racism. And
did you know, guys, Mr. Tillman, did you know Judge Jingles?
Yes, I did. I'm from Dallas.
Okay. All right.
We got a park in Dallas, North Carolina, named after Jingles, called Jingle Jaggers Park. But I actually, you know, previously in my younger years, I had a proceeding in front of Judge Jingles also, you know what I'm saying? But what I was going to say about these people is, this is the foundation. This is not the foundation. This is the product of what you preach and what Max preached on y'all show, New Abolitionist. This is what the product of slavery is. Because now they got control over being able to go into, and they got control to be able to go and just take over our lives. They got control to be able to take over our lives, destroy our lives, you know what I mean? Without...
Mr. Tillman's still having some issues, but we're going to go ahead and take our three-in-a-row music break, and hopefully we'll pick back up with Mr. Tillman on the other side. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. This is a special broadcast. Again, normally Tando Radio Show is on during this time, but Dave could not do his show today. And instead of letting the time slot go to waste, I decided I should just come on air and update you all on some news and stuff that's going on around the country. Again, this is Black Talk Radio Network. We are supported by donations to the U.S.-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project, whose vision is to create media centers, not just radio stations, but media centers around this country, especially where we have people. people of color, because the 1996 Telecommunications Act killed off independent black terrestrial radio stations, and terrestrial radio stations eventually will go the way of the paper newspapers. It's just outdated technology, and a lot of stuff is going towards digital. But also, that 1996 Telecommunications Act, I mean, it's like tame compared to some of the stuff they've been doing lately with the further consolidation of media under a few corporate brands. You got Sinclair Media now taking over a whole lot of radio stations, and they definitely have a philosophy of promoting racism and white supremacy. So that's why the Black Talk Media Project was created, not just to provide a safe digital space for black talkers who want to talk about stuff on an international and national level, but we also have a vision to go into our communities and replace those centers of communication that have been lost due to racism. All right, we will be back on the other side. This is your girl. What is her name? I can't think of her name, but this is consumerism. Her name will come to me when I hear her voice. You're listening to Black Talk Radio. You're tuned in to Black Talk Radio News, Scotty Reed, on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. And I don't know if Mr. Tillman's back on the line, but let me just say this. And I see you, L.A. Ramon. I'm going to come to you. I appreciate Mr. Tillman calling in and sharing what he did, because I have to keep in mind, and we should all keep in mind, that our experiences may not be another person's experience. Because I was just blasting on this Carolina Panthers player for taking up for the racist suspect. I'm going to call him a racist because he settled a lawsuit where he called a black person working for him a racial slur. And we can imagine what that racial slur was. And he also settled three other lawsuits for sexually harassing women. And then we had this black player saying, well, Mr. Richardson treated me nice and he was respectful and all that. Well, that's cause you make money for him, dude. You know, those other people were expendable. You not as expendable with your guaranteed contract. So he ain't gonna just blatantly, disrespect you. And so your experience with Mr. Richardson is not somebody else's experience. And so my experience in the Gaston County court system is not the same one that Mr. Tillman apparently had. And that's what he was trying to express, but his phone was kept going out. So I appreciate that. And I received that message because I have a lot to be thankful for in my life. I really feel like I've been blessed. Because I have not faced the adversity, not saying I have not faced racism, because I have. I lost jobs because of racism, okay? Racism was practiced against me when I was in the U.S. military. So I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is I haven't faced the same level of oppression living in this county as apparently Mr. Tillman has felt, and as probably other black people has felt. And that's why I get so angry with this NAACP dude here in Gaston County who ain't informing us about the stuff that's going on in Gaston County. That's his job. It's to know what's going on in this county and informing the rest of us. Because we ain't got but one paper in this county. And it's run by racist suspects. And now they want to make us even pay. That's why me and my daughter have to do what we plan to do to launch our own news media platform for this county. So that we can get these stories out. All right? So thank you, Mr. Tillman, for correcting me. My experience is not another person's experience in that court. All right, L.A. Ramon, thank you for calling in, bro. What's on your mind?
Oh, what's up, Scotty? Everything you talking about and too much more. I'm going to get straight to it, and I don't want to express myself, man. I might come uncodified with some of this stuff you're talking about, but I'm going to say this. Hey, man, not only am I going to do something I wanted to call in to ask if there's somebody on this line that's in the audience, and particularly I was thinking about Thomas, if he's still listening. I want to pay for somebody a membership on to BTR Community. as well as a donation I'll be putting in with it. So I just kind of wanted to throw it out to this audience. If there's somebody that doesn't have a membership that's looking for one or wants to be a part of the community, I'm going to give it to Scotty. He can, y'all can reach out to him if you're that person that's in need of it or want it. So I did want to tell you, Scotty, thanks again, man, for the show. You do what you do, and you do a damn good job. I have to be honest, it seems like Mr. Fuller is coming up a lot nowadays with, you know, us having to look back at how we got here and how we're going to get out of it. And I think you might agree with me that it seems like we keep repeating this same little section, this little point in time over and over again of us being, you know, handled with, you know, with crazy legal processes. You know, like you said, this kid got a misdemeanor. I don't even know if there's a such, I mean, misdemeanors, from my understanding.
He did have one felony, L.A. He had one felony, but it was a nonviolent felony for making a false report.
Well, here's what I was going to say. Murder by bail is $1 million. They have a price tag for all that stuff. You see what I'm saying? You can go look at it. And I don't know of a felony or a misdemeanor that even raises, that's even in that range. That right there in itself is a crazy injustice right there. There's not one misdemeanor. Even if he had a misdemeanor once, there's no misdemeanor that justifies a $200,000 bail bond.
$250,000.
So, I mean, he's exceeded murder. And then just to add to what you said, we've had about 9 cases of people being caught with all them weapons and stuff that you said that guy got caught with here in Colorado. We've had 9 within my own neighborhood, people being, they found bombs. They wrote one off as a hoax. Some guy talking about he got mad at the landlord and left a pretend, something looked like a bomb, I should say. I mean, we're going through hell, man. And the only thing I can really answer to that just being, I'm trying to stay codified when I say this. I'm no more convinced that, I mean, I'm convinced now that we're going to have to change our behavior and, you know, shit like that, excuse my language, stuff like that got to be addressed. You back at it. I'm not talking about just that boy in jail. I'm talking about just these people making threats at us on a general mass level. That's a mass threat. That's not an individual threat. That's saying I'm willing to do damage to innocent kids and everybody else. And when people got to manifest those, say they specifically going out looking for black folks, I don't feel like we need to be sitting around pussyfooting, talking all nice and subtle. Now, I don't want to be stupid and say something on this line that I'm going to regret, but I ain't going to regret much of nothing right now at a time like that we're in. I'm going to regret that I haven't done nothing. And I think that's what the past is telling us. We're living the past again. We're in a time loop. And I think it's beautiful we got the radio station and everything, but we're going to need to do a little bit more. I just can't see how we can keep reading this stuff and not having this stuff make you want to get up and deal with some people. But I know we ain't ready like that, so I can't just be stupid.
Right.
But we can do something. And I know we ain't going back to no tables talking about treaties again. What are we doing that for? The last 3 times we got bamboozled like that, it all started out with an agreement, sitting down for a treaty or something. I just don't think we're getting nowhere with that. I mean, I don't want to bust nobody's bubble, and I don't want to say something that may not be true, but I just don't see how we're getting anywhere with it. But that's all I got to say, Scotty. I just want us to, you know, I want the radio station to stay alive. I want the people that's listening, you know, hey, man, we can do something. We don't have to be scared. And there's people out there that know how to do things without being so loud about things.
Right, right. That's the key. That's the key.
You know, we don't all have to bow down. We don't have to bow down to this. You know, and then I'm going to feel pretty bad if that, you know, people say if we're going to die and be judged at our death, I'm going to feel real bad that I would have to stand in front of my Creator and say I chose not to get up because I was waiting on everybody else. It just doesn't sound right. It doesn't, and it's kind of really, truthfully, it's unnatural for us not to be responding. Because if this was somebody on the street, on the block, cussed you out, threatened you or something, you'd be busting them in the head quicker than you. You wouldn't even have time to think about how quick you going to put hands on them. So if we got that same anger and animosity towards each other, I don't understand why we should be standing back when somebody is clearly telling you, I would rather see you murdered and wiped off the face of the earth. I don't want to talk with the people like that, and I don't want to sit down at a table with that group. But that's my piece. Like I said, Scotty, you find somebody in the family that want to get on the membership that ain't got one, they got it paid for, and I'll talk to you tomorrow or something, and we'll handle that. You and I get that taken care of. Thanks, man, for letting me just express myself.
All right, L.A., and you stay safe behind them enemy lines out there in Colorado. And, yeah, you know, self-defense is natural, all right, to want to defend yourself when somebody trying to kill you. Violence, as Malcolm X said, and self-defense is intelligent. So I agree with L.A. when he says that's natural. That's natural. And I'm going to tell you, though, the black people here in Gaston County, I'm kind of proud of them. Now, we still got oppression, all right? But I remember when that flag was coming down in South Carolina, these little terrorists, and they not out front with it in terms of confronting us. But some of them got a little brave, right? They got a little brave. They saw what was going on in South Carolina and those terrorists going down there and doing the little things that they was doing. And then this dude going to post one of those big Confederate flags on the back of his Jeep, and went rolling up into a black community like he gonna terrorize some folks. They opened fire on that dude. They had him shook. He called the police crying. Tell me, I'm putting that flag up. It ain't worth it. They almost killed me. Shout out to them brothers in Gastonia for showing black self-respect. We got, I think this might be Thomas or Ross, I'm not sure, but 347, go ahead with your question or comments. We got a few more minutes as we got Race Treaty coming up at 8.
Yes, Scott, it's Thomas. I just want to say, man, I was listening to your story. You know, it's sad, and it's just going to get worse with this AI of algorithms that's going to be doing the judges and giving the bills. It's already being used in New Jersey. And based off of the fact that you went to live in a high crime area and you dropped out of school, let's just say, or you only have a high school diploma, you don't have a job, or, you know, all of those things is what's going to determine your bill. And they're not just going to look at the crime. And this isn't going to be done by a person. Like, you had that judge who looked you out. You know, the computer doesn't have any empathy or sympathy. It's not looking at the broader circumstances. It's not looking at the other people who contributed to the to what happened. So it's just going to get much worse with this bill, and these things are going to jump through the roof. And about the football owner, I said this on your show before, you know, as fans, as not just fans, forget fans, as people who live in these cities, these owners, you pretty much should be working for you. I was just reading about the Raiders who's moving to Vegas. The owner put up $500 million. The other $2.3 billion is coming from taxpayers. It's coming from, they got $750 million from the city of Las Vegas. They got another $800 million from the county. They got the rest being funded by the state. And they're getting Vino to put up the money for a training facility. And this owner can get away with doing stuff, and the people can't say, no, you have to go. You have to sell that. That's our team. You know, we paid for that, you know. But I'll meet my line. Thank you, Scotty. And peace to L.A. Ramon.
Thank you, Thomas. Yeah, the same thing in Charlotte, Thomas. Actually, the taxpayers in Mecklenburg County, which is where Charlotte is, they funded the entire stadium. And the stadium actually sits on public property that the Panthers are leasing for $1 a year. Now, do you think that Black Talk Media Project can get subsidized like that by Gaston County I don't live in any city, or I live in but do you think that taxpayers could subsidize? I could go to them and say, hey, I'm trying to create a media center, a localized radio station. It might even create some jobs, you know, but I need some property. Y'all want to give me some property for $1 a year with a building and all of that stuff? Good. No, it ain't happening that way. They going to tell us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. So, yeah, that's what's up. That's what's going on. And people should be outraged. You know, they try to say, oh, that's socialism. Oh, that's communism. When we talk about these social programs and whatnot. But yet, it's good for the rich and the wealthy. They get socialism and all day long. Get taxpayer money. They don't have to put up their own money in many of these cases. They get heavily subsidized. Amazon, for example. You know, they cutting deals in states the way they don't even got to pay taxes. And then they expect the poor people to pay all the taxes for this infrastructure, which leads them to making all these arrests and fining us and giving us all this high dollar bills and whatnot, because that's how they bringing in revenue. All right, so listen, that's the end of the program. We got Race Treaty coming up. We already got the brothers, looks like, on the line. So stay tuned. Race Treaty is coming up with Brother Robin and Onaje. This has been Scotty Reed with Black Talk Radio News. Recognize where we live. We live in a place, and I know that the whole globe is a battlefield, all right? But it's particularly intense behind these enemy lines of USA Inc., where they still practicing slavery, and it's race-based slavery to a large degree. And they're not going to end it on their own. It's going to take the people to end it. All right, peace and blessings to all. I'm out.